I love missionaries. I love to be ministered to. I love to know what's going on in other parts of the world. Sometimes we think there's got to be an easier way for missionaries to raise funds in order to be able to minister in foreign places. And I suspect that there could be, and sometimes at General Conference, there are a number of people who take on missionaries and allow them to go back to their field earlier, and that's a wonderful thing. But I really believe it's God's plan to share the burden of missionaries to local churches, that they will pray for these missionaries. You can't circumvent that. You have to feel the heart of a missionary and the sacrifice that they make in order for us to help make them successful. Amen. And so I'm full of admiration for our missionaries and what they do and how much they sacrifice in order to be in the will of God. Amen. Glory to God. So would you welcome Brother Gratian. Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we give Jesus one more good hand of praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's just give him one real good warm praise. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We have so enjoyed worshiping with you tonight, fellowshipping together. Those that we've got to shake hands with and to meet before church. Some of you we haven't shaken hands with yet, praise God. But the night is still young, praise God. And it is so good to be here. And you may be seated. I want to say a special thank you to Brother and Sister Schumacher and the leadership here for inviting us, having us with you tonight. It's our honor. It's our privilege. And we have pastored naturally, and we know what it is to feel the responsibility of allowing somebody to stand behind a pulpit and to minister to a church. And so we appreciate that that opportunity. We don't take it lightly. Praise God. And it's good to be in warm Wisconsin tonight. Someone asked, you know, we are from the South Pacific. Someone asked me this morning if I'd ever been ice fishing. I said, we never get ice, let alone ice fishing, praise God. And we want to get back to our mission field because there's work to do and it's warmer. Praise God. No. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you to the media team, praise God. They've got a challenge tonight. We're going to have hand signals going across the great divide here, but I thank you. They've done a great job tonight. Praise God. I don't know if it sounds like we've got an accent or whether your pastor mentioned it or not. There's a lot of heads nodding up and down. Hallelujah. That's because we are originally from Australia. I was born and raised in the city of Melbourne, a city of about 5 million on the southern coast of Australia. My wife was born and raised in Alice Springs, right in the middle of Australia, otherwise known as the Outback, and got nothing to do with steaks and bloomin' onions. But praise God. And of course, we don't think we've got an accent. As we go north, south, east, and west across the United States, we meet a lot of people that we think have got accents. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for allowing us to share about missions tonight and what God is doing, and that is our purpose and our intent, because we are in this together. We are all missionaries. Wherever we've been called, wherever we go, whether it's our next door neighbor, our workplace, the person we meet in the grocery store, or whether it is 8,000 miles from here like where we are, it's all mission work. We're all in this together. Amen. Praise God. And God first called us out of Australia in 1992. to the South Pacific, and we lived in Guadalcanal, Solomon Islands, for 5 years. Guadalcanal is quite well known for World War II. We passed it in Cairns for 5 years. We were in the highlands of Papua New Guinea for nearly 10 years. And in 2011, God called us to Vanuatu. Vanuatu is just over 1,500 miles off the east coast of Australia. And there's nothing much in between except water. So if you get stuck on your island, you've got a long swim home. But that gives you a little bit of perspective, just geographically, about where it is, because we want you to know where you're praying for and where the country is. And Vanuatu is made up of 83 islands. We live on the capital, which is that bottom arrow, but this country was discovered in the 1600s by a Portuguese explorer sailing under Spanish money. And when he landed, the first island he landed in is that one in the top left, and they thought they had found Australia, and so they called it the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit, and they named that island Espiritu Santo, and the next island, which is the one over towards the right, they named the island of Pentecost. So we have an island called Holy Spirit and an island called Pentecost, praise God. And if we can't have revival, then there's something wrong somewhere, praise God. And I am glad to tell you that on the island of Pentecost, which is a place of great spiritual darkness, we have 6 licensed ministers around the edge there and over 300 people baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. And this picture is one of the last time I was on the island of Pentecost. This was Sunday school. They were having Sunday school out under the trees. And I'm so glad to know that this place, that the next generation is also being prepared to carry on the gospel. Praise God. That is so important. That these children learn, rather than learning witchcraft, rather than learning the culture and traditions that would be anti-gospel, they can learn the true gospel and the culture of Jesus Christ and His church. Praise God. And so that is such a huge thing. Praise God. I want to ask my wife to come and share. Hallelujah. This is a team effort. Praise God. And this is my trophy from the outback of Australia. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. What an awesome service we've had so far. Pastor and Sister Schumacher, thank you so much. They've been so friendly, so very kind to us. And those that we've met also, you've been so kind and made us feel so welcome. Thank you so much for having us here tonight. I also want to say thank you, ladies, for giving to Mother's Memorial. Because of you ladies, I get to have a stove and a refrigerator and a washing machine and a clothes dryer. And I really appreciate it. And my husband does too, because I make him pizza at least once a week in that stove. So thank you. And you will know Mother's Memorial also supports Bible school students around the world. And we are so thankful for that money that comes in January, because it helps us to print the textbooks that we need and to keep the lights on and keep Bible school running. And that is spreading the gospel. Amen. Praise God. I also want to say thank you to the youth for She's for Christ. And yes, you can see that picture. That is the picture of the 2018 AYC team and some youth from Vanuatu. And if you look very close, you'll see there's a Ford Ranger buried underneath those young people. And that is our She's for Christ car. Thank you so very much. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just feel like tonight God is doing something in many of our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. I'm so thankful that even though I do not know what is around the corner, I can trust Jesus. When I place my life in His hands, when you placed your life in His hands, you do not have to worry about tomorrow, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He has already been to your tomorrow. Those prayers that you're praying, those roads that you may have to walk down, Jesus is with you, and He will answer, and He will be there. And tonight, I want to share a testimony with you, because it was something that encouraged us, because we, let me just share it, praise God. When we were on the island of Malaita in the Solomon Islands, my husband went for an outreach about a four-hour drive away from our home. And he took some leaders from the church, and he took with him in his guitar case the only music they had, and it was his guitar, his personal guitar. And he took that up to North Malaita. And after a wonderful weekend in the presence of God, they packed their things up to return back to Auki in central Malaita, where we were living. And some of the young people, or one of the young people, said, "Brother Gratian, can I put your guitar in the back of the truck?" And he said, "Yes, thank you." And they picked up the guitar case and put it in the back of the truck. And they drove 4 hours home to Auki. And my husband reached into the truck and lifted up his guitar case to put it inside the church under our house. And it was light. And he opened it, and there was no guitar in it. He had left his guitar in North Malaita, and there was no way he could turn around and go back and get it. And he literally felt sick inside. Because we were about to start services that very Wednesday in that town, and that was the only music that we had, was his guitar. And so discouraged, we didn't even pray about it. It was one of those, just write it off, because the guitar's not going to be there when we go back. We put that guitar under the house, locked the door, and came down on Wednesday to sweep and get ready for church. And my husband walked over and picked up that case, and it was heavy. And he looked inside that case. And every time I say this, I feel the Holy Ghost. His guitar was in that case. Brothers and sisters, there is no way it got there by itself. The only explanation we have is that an angel sent by Almighty God delivered that guitar from North Malaita to our home and put it inside that case. God is a great God, and when you think you are at the end of your rope, and your situation is impossible, it's just an opportunity for God to show Himself strong on your behalf. God bless you and thank you.
Praise God. We get to, let's give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We get to enjoy the fact that we meet these people, we get to minister to these people, we get to live with them, share with them, marry them, bury them, etc., etc. And it's a wonderful opportunity. But the truth is, these are your souls. These are your ministry. When you pray for somebody on the other side of the world, that's what happens. Praise God. It's all a part. Without the body of Christ, the world will not be reached. And really, that is our purpose. That is our goal. Each and every one of us are missionaries. Jesus was the greatest. Amen. Praise God. And I want to share with you another, just one more of the islands that we work in. This country is unique. It's known as Kiribati. Maybe some of you have looked at it or seen it. It's one of the lowest countries. The highest place on it is about 4 to 5 feet above sea level. It has one road. The island of Natch is, that's, you can see the ocean on both sides of that road. Naturally, when you're on that island, which I was there, took these photos, there's plenty of fish. So if you like fish, you're good. If you don't like fish, there's nothing else. And so these are coral atolls in the middle of the ocean. And on this particular one, there's about 200,000 people that live there, and 4% employment. It's like these people are living there, fishing, doing what they can. And I'm so thankful that we have a wonderful missionary from Fiji that goes in and out of there, a regional missionary that works there. And we were there for the conference last year. This work is fairly young. And these people meet together. They have no building, no place. They just use these halls that they can move into. But on that island, we have about 200 people showed up for that conference. And so that's probably about 150 that are baptized in Jesus' name. And I was there on that island and with these people. And Brother Dan, the missionary there, he said, Brother Gratian, he said, we desperately need somewhere to meet. And I said, Brother, when I get the chance, when I get the opportunity, I will just mention that. And so I spoke to your pastor. I mentioned it before because that is one of our projects, is to try and help get these people at least a shelter of some kind where they can have church. Amen? Praise God. So I wanted to share that with you tonight. I want to share a couple of testimonies, if that's okay. Hallelujah. And I want to read a scripture first that most of you could probably quote, but John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. How many of us know that the devil is out to steal our stuff, if I could put it that way? Amen? He's out to get anything and everything that he can. And sometimes we say, well, he wants to steal my joy, he wants to steal my faith, he wants to steal my blessing, and that's very true. But I believe that even more than that, those things are like the branches of a tree. I believe the devil is desperate to steal our core identity as apostolic believers. If he can steal our identity, the elements that without which we cease to be what we're meant to be, if he can steal those elements from us, then really he has won a kind of victory. But he's not going to steal them because we're going to stand strong in those. Hallelujah. And one of the elements that God really brought to my attention as I prayed about it and thought about it and began to have this thought laid on my heart is the fact that you are a carrier of the gospel. You're not a carrier of coronavirus, I hope. Hallelujah. But you and I carry the gospel. And the gospel is something that has a latent power of its own embedded inside of it, that it will do its work if it is released. It has an infectious quality about it that we don't even have to present it the right way. We just have to let it out and it will do its thing. There's a power, Paul said, that is embedded in the gospel that he was not ashamed of, praise God. And it is the power of God unto salvation. You and I carry that. And the devil would love for us to forget it. There was an incident that happened when we first went to the Solomon Islands that really helped embed this thought in my heart, and it's just fermented and stayed there over the years. And when we went to Malaita, the same island that Sister Gratian was talking about, when we had our first service on that Wednesday night, there was me, my wife, and our two boys, and we had gone to this province in the Solomon Islands. There was no church, no Bible studies had been done, nothing had been done. It was just, we knew it was God's will, and our leaders gave us permission to move there. It was kind of like getting right into the heart of the country. And so we just handed out tracts, invited people. We were going to have church. Our first service, the four of us there, and this one man, we saw him walking down our driveway towards where we were having church under the house. And his name, leave that one up there. His name was Brother David Ricky. And next to him, believe it or not, is me. Younger and more handsome, but hey. And so he came to church. Now, Brother David has an interesting story because his father is, was the most powerful witch doctor in half of the island. Brother David had been, when he was born, just a baby, he had been offered to the ancestors as a sacrifice. He'd been buried alive as a sacrifice to the ancestors. What happened, though, is one of his aunties was feeling sorry for him. So when the men had all left from doing the rituals, she had come and dug him up and hidden him. And so when he represented himself into the tribe later on, they attributed to him a lot of, they thought it was all supernatural. So he went with that and he actually became a real witch doctor. And he allowed the powers of Satan and demonic forces, different things to operate. And so this was his son. And his son was the heir apparent in this role. His son was already known as a medicine man. He was moving into that role. But Brother David knew that there was something missing. He knew that even with growing up, seeing everything his father did, everything that he was starting to experience in his life, he knew that there must be something more. And so he had visited every church he possibly could, trying to find if maybe there was something else that was missing, that was counter to what he had. And so he came to church in that little meeting under the house, just the four of us. He felt the presence of God. Over the next little while, we kept that contact alive. Brother David gave his heart to God. He's a very logical thinker. He planned in his mind. And so he got baptized fairly quickly. He could see baptism in Jesus' name in the Word of God. But it took him a while to get the Holy Ghost. You don't, because you just don't get that with your mind. But eventually he got the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and when he got the Holy Ghost, he knew that he finally had what he'd been feeling, and he had what he'd been looking for, praise God. And so he said to me, he said, Brother Gratian, I've got to take this back to my village. I've got to take this back to my family. I've got to share this with them. And so we planned a trip. We were having Bible studies and everything like that with him and under the house. And so we planned a trip. To do trips like this, especially into remote areas, you have to plan in advance. You can't just wander in. You've got to give people notice. It's a 9-hour canoe ride around the edge of the island and then a walk inland and things like that. So people need to know what's happening. Then you need to prepare. So we set the date that we were going to go and visit. And there is a reason that I'm sharing this to do with the gospel. Brother David and I got ready to go. We had another couple of young men we were taking. And 3 weeks before we left, Brother David's father got deathly ill. He became paralyzed. He couldn't eat. He couldn't wash. He couldn't move. He lay on his bed. The family had to look after him. And Brother David literally thought he was dying. I believe the devil suspected something was about to happen and was going to try and take him out. But God kept him alive until we got there. Brother David, some of the brethren went. They just prayed with him. And after the whole day of travel, we retired for the night. The next morning, there was a commotion that was happening in the village. And they came to me and they said, Brother Gratian, they said, the first man to get up this morning was Brother David's father. They said, he got up, he went to the river to wash, he's had a little bit of food, and now he is standing in the river and he refuses to leave the river until you come and baptize him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the reason that struck home is because we never went with a crusade team. We never went with music. We never went with an international evangelist. It was just a few of us that literally were exhausted from just getting there. But you know what, brothers and sisters? God doesn't need all of that kind of stuff for His gospel to work. Amen? Those things are good and we need to do excellence in ministry. But you know what? The gospel that you and I carry, God is not relying on your education. He's not relying on my education, on our finances, whatever. The gospel in inside of each of us has a power of its very own. And sometimes all it takes is a tract to be given to somebody at the right moment that will start a chain of events that will affect half of an island for Jesus. Amen? And that's all that happened there. Brother David, that's a later picture of us. You can tell a few things have changed. And brother David became a district superintendent that was taken not that long ago and is still living for God today. Brothers and sisters, the gospel works. The gospel works. All we have to do is get it out there. The devil would like us to forget the infectious, contagious disease of the gospel, if you like, that each one of us carry. All we've got to do is let it go. Let it touch somebody through an invitation to church or whatever it might be. The gospel has power, brothers and sisters. In this day and age, as I feel, as your pastor said the same thing, as we feel that the end is approaching and the devil is trying to do everything he can to destroy our integrity as humans, our integrity as a Christian nation, and destroy the integrity of the church, it's more important than ever that we realize that we just have to let that gospel out. Whether it's one person just lifting their hands and worshiping God on a Sunday, whether it's your prayer time at home, whether it's just reading your Bible in the lunchroom at work, whatever it might be, let that gospel out. You don't have to convince somebody. You don't have to have a 12-week Bible study with somebody. Those things are good, and somebody else might do that down the road somewhere. But all we've got to do is let it out, let it out, let it out. Let it touch somebody. Let them just get one sneeze, if you like, or cough of the gospel over them, and that infectious gospel will begin to work, because it is powerful, brothers and sisters. It is powerful. Hallelujah. And not everything works the way that we think it's going to work, and but the one of the biggest differences that I've found that I think the devil likes us to forget is that the devil is not a creator, but God is a creator. It's something that sometimes maybe we don't think about it, but the devil will imitate, he will come with suggestions, he will come with influences, he will come with all sorts of things, but the devil has never created anything in his life. It's not in his power to do so. He will imitate, but he won't create. And God is able to take, as we go through life, there'll be things that seem to go right and things that seem to go wrong. And we need to realize that the God that created heaven and earth is able to take whatever is going on in our life, even our mistakes and our mess, if you please, and He is able to create something beautiful out of those situations in our life. We don't always see it. Some things happen and we won't know why and understand it till we get to the other side. But something happened in Vanuatu that where we really thought the devil was messing things up. This is a building that was built by the brethren here in the United States. A team of ministers came over and they built this building. They shipped the equipment and did the whole thing. In 2015, a hurricane came through and that's all that was left of the building. And we thought, well, this is pretty discouraging. We wondered what was going to happen. There's no such thing as insurance, of course, in countries like that and buildings like that. So we kind of did what most people would do, kind of looked at it and cried and prayed and cried and prayed and cried and prayed. I don't think there was a whole lot of faith going on, but there was a lot of crying and praying going on. And we thought, well, because in that building is where we used to hold our Bible school classes. We used to hold our seminars. We used to hold our conference. That basically was the only building we had. And so that was it as far as a central location and a headquarters property. But what God did was the brethren in Vanuatu, they got mad, literally. And they got mad at the devil. And they decided to blame the devil. And I don't mind whether it's the devil or not. I'll blame him for anything. Hallelujah. And so they decided, we're going to start building. And so they began to build. They said, we're going to raise funds. And this is a very, very important stage in the growth of any church. And so as you work with a church that's growing and developing and going to grow to become its own national church that's reaching out into other countries itself, this was a vital stage for it. And God used this situation to turn it around. They said, we're going to raise the funds. They took pledges. They did fundraising. And they began to build. And they said, you know what? The building we used to have was too small. So this one, we're not going to put any walls on it. And they began to joke about it. They began to say, well, God just knew our building was too small, so he just blew it out of the way so we could do this. But the end of the story is, brothers and sisters, after they had finished with that in Vanuatu, when we have our conferences and our meetings, now there's approximately 1,000 people that gather there for combined meetings. And you can see the building is right down at the bottom of the hill there. But because of that building being destroyed, God raised up something that now involves over 3 times the amount of people that were meeting in that building. Hallelujah. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what situation you're facing. But let me just tell somebody tonight that it doesn't matter what the devil might be doing. It doesn't matter how hard it might seem. And I don't say that lightly. I know life can be very, 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 very hard. But I want to encourage somebody tonight. Just hold on to the hand of Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I look to the left, I look to the right, I look forward, I look back, I don't see where you are, but you know the way that I take, and when you've tried me, I am going to come forth as gold, because I can promise you, he can be trusted. He can be trusted. You may not see the end yet, but when you do, you will be amazed and so glad that you trusted him, because he can be trusted. Hallelujah. We serve a great God, a mighty God. And the devil would like us to forget that. Part of our core identity, not the branches, but I believe our core identity is the gospel that we have and the fact that the God that you and I serve is able to turn and create out of anything that happens in life. He knows how to be the master orchestrator, if you like, and create things out of our life. Praise God. The other thing is, another thing that God is that you are, that the devil would like to steal from you, is the fact that you are a Holy Spirit-filled believer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. What that means is that everywhere you go, like it or not, the Holy Spirit goes with you. And you know, the truth is, he's not there just to babysit us. But he wants to see the world saved. And you carry inside, now I know he is there, he is our comforter, etc., etc. We need that. Hallelujah. But when let me put it this way, just the spirit world is more real than the physical world. And I won't take time to go into that. You believe that. You believe in angels, you believe in heaven, you believe in hell. If you've even seen God heal a headache, you believe in miracles, amen. So we believe in all that kind of, in the spiritual world. But the spiritual world is still going to be here even when the things that we can see and feel and touch are gone. We believe in eternity, amen. And so it is very real. And there's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Everybody belongs in one of those, amen. Amen. Don't go too quiet. You'll make me nervous. I won't be long. I'm watching the little clock up there. But everyone, so if we could see spiritually what was happening, when you walk into Walmart or wherever, you walk into town, that place is covered in darkness. There's a spiritual darkness in there that we don't see. You know, we're looking for the groceries, we're looking for this, we're saying hello to people that we can see and interact with. But there's more than that going on. And when you walk in there, it's like a beam of light. Your life in the Holy Spirit is like a beam of light that navigates through this world. And that's the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the devil would like to keep us forgetting how powerful that really is. Because if we can keep the Holy Spirit just inside of us and just focused on what I'm going through and focused on the things that I've got to face, then we can, the devil can have, in a sense, he can have a containment, and in a sense, he can have a form of victory. But if we realize how powerful the Holy Spirit is, and you just let it out, you just let that Holy Spirit out. Maybe you're not even talking to somebody, but as apostolics, we can be praying in the Holy Ghost quietly under our breath as we walk down an aisle. The devil wants us not to do that. He wants us to forget that. He wants us to just get caught up in every day-to-day life. Can you say amen? But that power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, he is so scared because he cannot stop that. He cannot overcome that. He cannot defeat that. The power that is in you is greater than anything he has. And so if when we let that out, there's nothing he can do. All he can do is try and distract us, keep us busy with life, keep us focused on the here and now, and distract us from the eternal, distract us from the spiritual. Hallelujah. But I'm glad that I've got a Holy Spirit inside of me and that he keeps reminding me that he is there and that I need to let him out. Praise God. And this was brought home to me when we were in Papua New Guinea. There was a pastor that was holding Bible studies. The power of the Holy Spirit is what I'm referring to, one of our core identities. He was holding Bible studies in a nearby village. And this village was controlled by the witch doctor. There was no gospel in there, no church in there. And the pastor was holding Bible studies, was going in there, and God started doing miracles. There was a lady that was 6 months pregnant. The baby had stopped moving. She was in a lot of pain, had become paralyzed down one side. The pastor prayed for her. The next morning she woke up. The baby was kicking away. Her paralysis was gone. And the husband automatically just said, yeah, I want to find out more about this. There was another miracle that happened. There was there'd been a child born with a withered hand that was now a man. And his hand had been born withered, and the pastor prayed for him, and there was a explosive cracking noises, is how the pastor described it, as God unwithered that hand, as it were, and God worked a miracle. And so the villagers said, we want to dedicate this village to the gospel. They said, we want this village dedicated to the gospel. And what that means is that they said, we want you to go find a leader, find a missionary, find someone, and we want to get all of our plants. Now, in these villages, there's plants that the witch doctors put spells on. The people give the witch doctor a lot of money. He puts a spell on a plant, and that plant will be there for protection against enemies, for health, fertility, good crops, etc., etc. And you can go visit villages in Papua New Guinea today where they don't have the gospel. They can show it to you. It's not a secret thing. It's something they do. And so this was very real to them. They said, we want to dedicate this village and we want you to go and find a leader or find somebody. Come and do that. So that's when I started to hear about it. Brother Gilmai Nkama came to me and said, this is what's been happening. Would you be willing to come? And they want to burn all of those plants. Well, I just felt like I was back in the book of Acts. I thought, yeah, I'm not going to miss this. I want to be there. So we got in the car, drove as close as we could to the village, left the car. The husband of the wife that had been healed stayed as a security guard by the car. Otherwise, there would not have been a car when we got back. And we walked on down into the valley to do this. I think the next slide. And so there wasn't very many of us there. There was me, my wife, we had an AIM worker there, a couple of the brethren, and they bought all these plants. Most of the village had disappeared. Like, there was those few that had really decided, yes, we want to do it, but there was also a lot that were kind of a bit scared about it all, so they kind of disappeared back into the jungle and were watching from a distance. And so anyway, we went. We got those plants. We burnt them. We just prayed and claimed the blood of Jesus and dedicated that place and asked God to send his angels and let that place be a light for the gospel. And we just had a prayer meeting is what it was, I guess. And then we walked back to the car. When we got back to the car, the guy that had been waiting there as security with the car, he said, "Brother Gratian, I've got to tell you what's been happening." He said, "People have been coming from all the villages around here, and they've been asking me who died in that village." And he said, "I've been telling them nobody died. And it's been getting dangerous. They've been insisting, no, somebody has died in that village." And he said, "No." He said, "There's nothing going on in that village except that our missionary's down there, and there's a pastor down there, and they're dedicating it to God." And these people from several villages around, they said, "No, somebody has died in that village." They said, "Because we can hear the screams and the cries of thousands of voices down in that village." And they said, "That's why we know somebody important must have died down in that village." Brothers and sisters, you can cut it any which way you like, but I believe God opened the ears of the people around that area to hear the screams and the cries of the demons as they were forced to leave that area. From that time on, from that testimony, from what happened, every village around there now has a United Pentecostal Church preaching the name of Jesus. That village has a United Pentecostal Church. From there, the church just grew, because brothers and sisters, it was, again, what struck me was, because there's no way these people would make up that story. There's no way. Why would they come? Why would all these people be gathered around our car saying, "What is going on down there?" You know, just for the sake of it. They heard it. If they hadn't heard it, they wouldn't have come wondering what was going on, and they wouldn't have turned several villages from witch doctor villages into gospel villages. It just wouldn't have happened. But the power of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, that's what it was. We didn't have a Bible study. Yes, they'd been having Bible studies, and the gospel had been working in there as well. But you know, again, we didn't go with a great crusade team. We didn't go with any music. We didn't go with somebody to go and preach and do all of that. No, we need all those things. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to say this evening is that the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes, not sometimes, but most of the time, it is doing things that we cannot even see. When you open your mouth in the middle of the night and say, "Jesus, I need you," or when you just speak the name of Jesus and release His Spirit into a situation in your life, you may not physically see anything change, but let me tell you, the Holy Spirit never moves without changing something, as already has been said tonight. And where Jesus goes and where His Spirit goes, something is going to change, even though we don't see it. We need to not let the devil steal that identity that we have, because each and every one of us, each and every one of us are missionaries. Each and every one of us are living and spreading that gospel, and the devil wants us to forget that. He wants you to forget the power that you have. I've prayed for many people over the years, and many times you don't see anything happen right there. But I know that I never open my mouth to pray, but that something is affected in the spirit world. Whether I see the change, I can't go by what my eyes see. I can't go by how the circumstance looks or the situation looks. And you can't go by what it looks like. If you go by what it looks like, you're going to end up on antidepressant drugs. You're going to end up wondering if God is real. You're going to end up wondering how you're going to make it through the next day. And we're going to crawl through life as a Christian just trying to make it from week to week. No, don't look at what you can see. But realize that those that are on our side, like Elijah's servant, those that are on our side are greater than the enemy that is around us. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit inside of you, when you open your mouth and say, "Jesus," something happens. Something is released into the atmosphere, and it doesn't go away. It doesn't depend on what you can see, but it is something that is more permanent than anything that you are looking at. And I want to thank you tonight. I want to thank you for being missionaries. I want to thank you for what you are doing when you pray, what you are doing on the other side of the world. Never doubt that it's effective, brothers and sisters. Every field is different, brings forth a different harvest. But let me tell you, anywhere that the gospel is spread, it is important. Praise God. The people that you are helping reach, we'll just go through these last couple of slides fairly quickly. It doesn't matter how hot it gets, these people will worship God. It doesn't matter if they're in the mud. It doesn't matter if there's mud down at the altar area. It doesn't matter how old they might be. And it doesn't matter, and just put that next one up and just leave that there. It doesn't matter how young they might be. The gospel, the Holy Spirit, our identity in Jesus Christ, the things that He has given us to do the job, they work, brothers and sisters. They change lives. They change lives. And I want to thank you for being a part of what God is doing. And I want to encourage you tonight. I'm going to hand back to Pastor tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. One, this might seem generic. You know what I mean by generic? But I just want somebody tonight to know. And I mean, like I said, this, you could say this in a crowd this size and be right. But I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I just want somebody to know that the circumstances that you are going through, that God is going to work it out for you. Just keep your eyes on Him. Keep holding His hand. And whoever the Lord is encouraging tonight, you know it. And like I said, it could be generic. You know, it sounds, it could be generic. Anyone could say that almost any time and somebody will be going through something. But I want you specifically, whoever is feeling that tonight, I want, feeling the Holy Spirit, I want you to know God is going to figure it out. What you see is not what the reality is. There's a reality in the spirit world that you are not seeing yet, but that God is already starting to bring into that situation. And He will bring it in and the situation will change. But it's already beginning to form. The answer is already beginning to take place. Hallelujah. Keep trusting God. Keep holding His hand. Hallelujah. And thank you for letting me share tonight. You are a powerful missionary in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen, amen. There's a man who wanted to be president of the United States, and he spent $500 million for 11 delegates. What could we do with $500 million? And what happens in these missionary services, we realize that the church is bigger than our little church here in Caledonia, Wisconsin. There are people who are hungry for the things of God. Amen. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Jesus said that. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men shall give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. So what God is saying is, if you give, He's going to return it. But not just what you gave, but pressed down, shaken together with the same measure that you give. And I know we didn't do this at offering time, but I'd like you to consider giving something to this mission field. And if you would, before you leave here, if you feel God putting something on your heart, if you just write out a check or an envelope to Apostolic Faith Church and then put missionary on the bottom, we'll make sure that the Gratians get this. And I know that God will bless you. Amen. I've been in some third world countries that have so little, and we have so much. And when we extend ourselves to those who have so little, it seems like we're blessed beyond measure. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gratian. It's awesome. Amen, amen. Most of us will never get to Vanuatu or Australia, New Guinea. But we can. We can go. We can go. We can go with our prayers. We can go with our finances. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? This has been an awesome day. Just has been. It's been a powerful presence of God in this place. God has blessed us over and over again. We spend more at Starbucks than a lot of people have for the entire year. And that's because God has blessed us. He has. Yeah. Amen. Could we clap our hands one more time to God? Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?